Well, church, we're going to take some time now to turn to the Word of God this morning, and we're going to see what He has to say to our hearts and to our minds this morning. Would you just stand with me here today? We're just going to open up our Word. We're going to open up the Bible. We're just going to honor the reading of the Word of God here in this place this morning. We're going to be reading really quickly from Philippians chapter 4, and we're talking about this here today. The last couple of weeks, we've been in this series from Craig Groeschel from Life Church called Anxious for Nothing. We've been talking about the anxiety and the worries and the stresses that all of us face in life. If you're worried, if you're stressed, if you're anxious, this series is for you so that you might know what it looks like to find true peace in your life every day. And as we look at this chapter this morning, I want to remind you quickly about the context of these words as we're reading this passage of Scripture. In this passage of Scripture, as we're reading this, Paul is writing these words to us, not from a place of victory, but from a prison cell. Paul is writing these words to the church, Philippians 4, verse 6. He's writing these words from a place of captivity, not knowing what tomorrow holds, chained to two Roman guards, under house arrest, 24 hours a day, not knowing if he would live or die. And it's in this place, in a place where he could be more anxious than anybody I know right now, in a place where he could be more stressed about his situations and his circumstances, that Paul writes these words. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I'll say it again, rejoice. Next week, we're going to look a little more closely at that as we learn how to rejoice when things are hard, because worship is a form of warfare. When we worship, God works. I want to encourage you next week, would you invite a friend? Would you bring someone out to church? If you think what we're doing is valuable here, would you invite someone else to experience the presence of God for themselves? Because when we worship, God works, which is why Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And then he goes on. He says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And then we come to our key verse for this morning. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, no matter what you may be facing, no matter what situation you might be going through, whether it's finances, relational stress, health crisis, or family, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, here's what you do. You present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends our understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In every situation, by prayer and petition, we present our requests to God. And so let's do that here today. Lord, we come to you now, and we ask in the name of Jesus that you would speak to our hearts, you speak to our situations, you speak to our minds. And Lord, as we learn, God, how to present our requests to you, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would give us that peace we read about, a peace that transcends our understanding, that surpasses what we can understand, a mind-blowing peace that might guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, we pray. Everybody said, amen. You can be seated here this morning. What is anxiety? Anxiety is very real. And anxiety is very complicated as well. Anxiety is more than just worrying or feeling stressed about situations, although all of us will feel those emotions at different times. Anxiety is sometimes psychological. Anxiety is sometimes emotional. Anxiety is sometimes situational. I would agree with Craig Groeschel that anxiety is always spiritual. There's always something spiritual going on behind anxiety. And because anxiety is a very complicated thing, we're going to approach it from a holistic perspective. We're going to approach it from a holistic perspective, understanding that no one solution will fix everybody's issue. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Elijah's situation, where Elijah found himself in this place of suicidal depression, not knowing how he was going to get out of this very dark hole. But we also saw that God gives us a way out. He gives us practical and spiritual steps to take. And we saw how God goes out of his way to remind Elijah of this truth, that there are practical steps you and I can take to get healthy in our walk with God. And we saw how taking care of your physical body, taking care of your physical frame, is a huge part of mental health. And how when we take care of our physical bodies, it's actually a reflection of what God is wanting to do in our mental case as well. And so we take care of that because we believe God wants to help us with those. Full disclosure, we believe at this church in taking practical steps, If you need to see a doctor, see a doctor. If you need to see a counselor, see a counselor. If you need to work through some things, you need to do that. But here's the truth. You need to understand this morning. I'm not a counselor. I'm not a doctor. You don't want me prescribing you medications, not by any stretch of the imagination, which means I view this issue from a spiritual perspective. And so that's the angle we're going to be tackling this from this morning. It's always going to be a holistic approach, but today we're talking it from a spiritual perspective. Is that understood? We're good with that today? Yeah? What is anxiety? I want to encourage you from an example I think Craig Rochelle uses that's really great in this area. How many of you have ever seen this little yellow light that shows up on the dash of your car and starts flashing at you when something isn't quite right? Anybody ever seen this little yellow light? You know, the check engine light? You know what that light is? Some of you have that light on your car right now. Right? Come on. You drove to church this morning and you're on a whim and a prayer, hoping and believing, oh God, this is causing some anxiety. I need to get to church to find out the answer to peace in my life. Please let this issue not cause me and my car to break down. Man, I don't know about you, but that yellow light causes me anxiety in my situation. But how many know that that little yellow light for check engine, that light is not the problem? That light is an indication of the problem somewhere else in the vehicle. That light is not the problem. It's an indication of something else elsewhere in the car is not right. And it's an indication that when that little yellow light goes off, you need to take the car back to the manufacturer, back to the one who made it, so that they might be able to address the issue and address the problem that is causing the light to go off. What is anxiety? Anxiety is the signal alerting you it is time to pray. It's the signal alerting you that something is not right, and now is the time to take yourself back to your maker, back to your creator, back to the one who knows you best, so that he might begin to fix the problem in your life. Because if it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. If it's on your mind, it's on God's heart. You might be worried about your kids. You might be worried about your family. You might be worried about your finances. Whatever you might be facing, if it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. And if it's on your mind, it's on God's heart. Which is why Paul tells us, in every situation, by prayer and petition, present your requests to God. That is, go to God in prayer. Talk to him about what you're facing and what you're experiencing in life. I like the way the New Living Translation says it. He says, don't worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. Everything. Even the silly things. Even the silly things like lunch and dishes and kids and car. Yeah, you bet. Paul says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything, because Jesus cares about the details. If it's on your mind, it's on God's heart. And he wants to hear from you. He wants to hear about your day. And Paul says that if you do that, no matter what you might be facing in life, no matter what issues you might be going through, if you will bring your request to God, an amazing promise will follow that I know all of us want, which is in verse 7. He says, the peace of God which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I want that kind of peace in my life. I want that kind of peace in my situation. I want that kind of peace in my circumstance. I want that kind of peace when I go to the school, when I go to the doctor, when I go to work, when I'm driving home. No matter where I am in life, I want a peace I can't explain to fill my heart and my mind. But it's that middle part. That middle part, that prayer part, that I think some of us get stuck on. When you're anxious, when you're stressed, When you're worried, when you're overwhelmed, how do you pray? What I want to do this morning, for just the few minutes that we have left here today, I want to look at a story from Peter's life that I believe speaks to this issue in a practical and tangible way. And I believe that if you'll understand this, just this simple truth from Peter's life this morning, if you will grasp this truth today, I believe you'll be able to experience that kind of peace that Paul talks about no matter what goes on in your life, that peace that doesn't make sense in whatever anxious situation that you might be facing this week. I want that kind of peace. And the reason I want to show you this story from Peter's life is because I think, like me, you might be able to relate with Peter more than you might like to admit. You see, Peter was one of Jesus' disciples. He was one of Jesus' closest friends. But he was just a normal guy. Just an average Joe. He was actually a tradesman. He's a tradesman that works on fishing boats. This is what he does for his life thing. He's an everyday average guy. Somebody you'd see and you wouldn't think anything other of twice. Nothing special going on here. But on one ordinary day, he encountered an extraordinary God, and it changed his life forever, which is why we invite people to church. Because all it takes is one moment for people to encounter an extraordinary God, and it might change and transform their lives forever. Like we experienced in church this morning, where Holy Spirit was moving and working. It might change someone's life forever. Let me encourage you. Would you invite someone else to church next week? Would you invite one of your friends, invite one of your neighbors, say, would you come to me and experience the power and the presence of God? Because on an ordinary day, Peter is fishing his nets. He's with his dad, he's with his brothers, and he's fixing his nets after a particularly disappointing night of fishing. You can read this story in Luke chapter 5, verse 1. I want to encourage you, if your Bibles, open up to Luke chapter 5, verse 1. In Luke chapter 5, verse 1, here he is. He's cleaning his nets after a very disappointing night of fishing. And him and his brothers, they've been out all night, and they've caught zilch, nada, nothing. They got absolutely nothing in the nets. And they are tired after working their butts off, trying to make ends meet, trying to figure this all out together. I mean, this is their livelihood, casting nets into the sea. And if they can't even cast their nets right to catch some food, then what else can they possibly do? What else can they possibly get right? Some of you are in that place right now. You just have been working as hard as you can. You've been casting your nets every which way you know how, and you still can't seem to figure out how to make ends meet. You can't seem to catch a break. Maybe it's with your kids, your family, your finances, your school, whatever it is. So maybe like Peter, you're feeling a touch of anxiety. So what do you do when you feel anxious? Well, let me tell you what I've done in the past. Often, when we struggle with anxiety, we'll find ourselves stuck in a cycle. We'll find ourselves stuck in an anxiety cycle. And our anxiety cycle looks something like this. Robert, can we put that up on the screen? The cycle of anxiety. Here's a cycle of anxiety we'll often see in your life and mine. You feel anxious. You feel the weight, the angst, you feel a dread, you feel worried, so you try and do what I do. You try to take control. You try and take control, and you go, I'll make this happen. I'll get her into shape. I'll get him into shape. I'll fix it. I'll control that. And you try and take control. The problem is, the more we try to control, the more we fear losing control. And the more we fear losing control, the more we actually try to control. And then we try to regain control, and the more anxious we start to feel. And so on and so forth until we start to break. Maybe you found yourself doing this. Maybe you found yourself in this cycle. And if you have, I want to encourage you, there's hope for you today. There's a way out of this cycle. When you feel worried, when you feel stressed, when you feel overwhelmed, there's a solution to break the cycle. See if you can see it with me in Luke chapter 1, or Luke chapter 5, verse 1, in Peter's story. Luke chapter 5, verse 1, I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed into him to listen to the word of God. Now, Jesus has gained some notoriety here. He's getting popular. People are following him everywhere he goes. There's these really large crowds, and they're pressing in on him. And so he noticed two empty boats by the water's edge, for fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon Peter, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. Now, right away, this story seems a little odd, a little bit strange. Can you imagine if you have just had a really hard day, you've been working your butt off to no avail, you're driving home, and somebody gets into your car and says, would you take me to the mall with you? And they just expect you to start taking them out someplace. Right when you're worried about bills, right when you're anxious about your kids, right when you're stressed about your family. Can't you see I'm working here? Can't you see I'm currently doing something? I've got a family to feed, and right now, it doesn't feel like you care very much about me. As a matter of fact, right now, I'm feeling pretty used, and I'm wondering if you care about me at all. Some of us here can probably relate to that more than we'd like to admit. You've felt used. You've felt passed over by religion, by pastors, by churches. You felt people had used you for what they can get out of you, and so now you're questioning if God even cares about you at all. And so in this moment, like Peter, you might be wondering, Jesus, do you care about my situation? I think it's a valid question to ask. I think all of us have to verbalize that. We have to begin to say that. We want to feel like people care about us. And right now in the story, it doesn't seem like Jesus cares. But look at what happens as soon as he's done preaching. Look at what happens. Verse 4. Just as he's done speaking, he says to Simon Peter, he says, now, go out where is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Now, the audacity of that statement, I mean, really, who does Jesus think he is here? Is he the Son of God or something? I mean, we're the experts here. I'm the fisherman. I'm in control. I know how to lead my boat. And I've been all night out fishing and caught absolutely nothing. And besides, doesn't he know we've been all night? We worked all night, verse 5, and we didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll surrender my control, even if it doesn't make sense, even if I don't understand. Because Jesus will often ask us to do things that don't make sense in the moment, but later will become clear. Like maybe being anxious for nothing, but in every circumstance, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, presenting our requests to God. Don't be anxious about everything, but pray about everything. That doesn't make sense. But Peter decides to trust his word and surrenders control of those details. And he does what Jesus tells him. And this time, watch what happens. This time, verse 6, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. And a shout for help brought their partners from the other boat. And soon, both boats were filled with fish to the verge of sinking. As Jesus shows, he cares about the details. It's often in our moments of greatest anxiety, stress, and fear, when we're trying to control the details, that God will ask us to stop and surrender control of the details. You see, you're stuck in this cycle of anxiety. You're stuck in the cycle of control and fear of worry. So you're feeling anxious, so you work harder. You try and control the situation, and you fear losing control, so you begin to try even harder, and you actually become more anxious as a result. And then you realize you're losing control, and you feel more anxious. And Jesus comes into this moment and says, I want to break the cycle in your life. I want to set you free, but I need you to recognize this truth. I need you to internalize it. I need you to let it heal your heart and mind. What do we do when we're anxious? We need to recognize the truth. You don't always have the power to control, but you always have the power to surrender. You don't always have the power to control, but you always have the power to surrender. Here's the truth. You can't fix everything. You can't control everything. Medicine won't always fix it. Counseling won't always fix it. Changing the circumstances won't always fix it. You can't fix everything, but you can surrender everything that's a burden to our God. Because you don't always have the power to control, but you always have the power to surrender. And God's promise to you is this. If you will surrender to me those details, if you will let go as you bring your needs to God in prayer, God's promise to you is that a peace which surpasses our understanding, a peace you can't explain or understand or comprehend, will guard your heart and your mind in Jesus, even when it doesn't make sense. Because God can do more with your surrender than you can with your control. God can do more with your surrender than you can with your control. And Jesus showed he cared by taking care of those details in Peter's life, taking care of those little details as he surrendered control to him. And Peter's just awestruck. I mean, he's just a simple fisherman. He's just like you and me. Nothing going crazy on here. He's just spent his life casting nets. You know, cast a net into the sea and hope you catch something. Cast a net into the sea and hope that it's enough. Cast and hope and pray that this aimless casting nets will meet my needs somehow. But then Jesus comes along and gives his casting a new purpose and a new meaning. He says, come and I'll make you fishers of men, and I'll give your casting something with eternal worth and value. Because I can do more with your surrender than you can with your control. So Peter leaves his casting of nets and he turns to follow Jesus. And this is wild roller coaster ride. 3 years of his life he has. He's following this homeless man who's teaching across all of Israel, wandering from place to place, being persecuted by religious leaders. It's amazing. Couldn't be going any better. But then Peter fails. And when he fails hard. In the time that Jesus needed him most, Peter denies him and runs off. And then to top it all off, the next day, Jesus is killed. He's murdered. He's crucified and hung on a cross to die. And Peter's just devastated, just absolutely destroyed. And he goes back to the only thing he knows, casting nets into the sea. When things don't turn out like we expected, often we'll return to old habits. Details we can control. Things that we like to control that we know we can keep a handle on and that we can understand. Going back to casting. Going back to controlling. Going back to that cycle of anxiety, control, and fear. That's exactly what Peter does. He goes back to casting nets into the sea, to details he can control. And in John chapter 21, we see this story pick up again. John chapter 21, verse 3. Simon Peter says to the other disciples, he says, guys, I'm done. I'm going fishing. And they said to him, listen, we'll go with you. So they went with him, and they got out into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. Familiar story. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus, because, you know, they saw him die. And so they didn't know it's Jesus. But look at what Jesus says. He calls out to them in verse 5, and he says, children, do you have any fish? He asks them about the details. He asks them about the fish. Because Jesus cares about the details of your life. Even when you failed. Even when you've messed up. I feel for somebody here this morning, I don't know who it is, but this week you messed up. This week you failed. And you're feeling far from God, and you don't know if he'll ever bring you back. You don't know if you can come to him. You don't know if he cares. I just feel the Lord is just telling you this morning, he cares about the details of your life. He cares about you still. Even when you've messed up. And God just wants to speak that to your heart this morning. If you feel far from God, he cares about the details of your life. And to show it, look at what Jesus does. It's a callback to that first moment when he first showed Peter that he cared. Verse 5, he says, children, do you have any fish? And they answered him, no. So he said, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. Now, that doesn't make sense, does it? I mean, there's maybe 10 feet of difference from this side to that side. What could that possibly make? What difference could prayer in my situation possibly make? What difference could surrender possibly make in my moment of worry and guilt and doubt? Surrendering to Jesus often doesn't make sense. But God can do more with your surrender than you can with your control. So they surrender control. And they cast it, and now they're not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. It's a callback to that earlier moment. And as soon as this happens, they clue in. Because this has happened once before. And John turns to Peter and he cries out, dude, it's Jesus. It's the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on his coat and he stripped for work and he threw himself into the sea. And instead of casting nets, Peter casts himself. That word cast, that word throw, is the exact same word for casting nets in the Greek. It's the same root. And the point is that Peter learned something in this moment, that instead of casting nets aimlessly into the sea, Peter starts to learn, I can cast myself onto Jesus instead. I mean, here's Peter, just totally dejected, running into controlling something as silly and pointless as fish. But even in the details, Jesus showed that he cared. Even when he failed, Jesus says to Peter, look, I still care for you, and I still care about the details of your life. I still care about fishing and boats and nets, but instead of casting your anxiety into the sea, instead of casting it into a relationship, into a job, into something you can try and control, you cast your anxiety on me because I care for you. You cast, and I care. You cast it, and then I'll care. You cast, and I care, because God can do more with your surrender than you can with your control. And later, Peter writes these words of encouragement to the church. Later, from firsthand experience of anxiety, of doubt, and of guilt, when you're worried, when you're anxious, when you're racked with pain and fear, Peter writes to the church, 1 Peter 5, verse 6, he says, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. That is, surrender control. Admit you need help. Listen, church, your pastor needs help. It's why I'm in mentoring. It's why I go to leaders. That's why I talk to people when I'm in a moment of doubt and darkness. I have confidants. I have friends. I have prayer partners. Your pastor's been to counseling. Did you know that? Because it's wise to seek help from the wise. I'll say that again. It's wise to seek help from the wise. All of us need help. Peter says, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand. Surrender control. Admit you need help. That he might lift you up. But here's the key verse you need to understand. Verse 7. Cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. He cares about your details. He cares about your worry. He cares about what's keeping you up at night. Because if it's on your mind, it's on God's heart. And if it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. Paul says in Philippians 4, he says, present your requests to God. How do we pray when we're feeling anxious? You humble yourself, and you just start casting. You just start casting. Peter is a man that knew what casting was all about. He spent his whole life casting net. Casting is indiscriminate. Casting is surrender. It is an example of just throwing and casting to let go and to release. Because you don't always have the power to control, but you always have the power to surrender. Listen, you cannot fix everything in your situation. You cannot fix everything in your family. There are things outside of your control. And I don't know what's going to stick this morning, but God, I'm just going to start casting my concerns. I'm just going to start casting my worries on you. God, I don't know how to pray right now, but I believe that you can. About me. I believe you listen to my cry when I am anxious. And so, God, I'm just going to start casting. I'm just going to start praying. I'm just going to start praising. Next week, we're going to look at what the role of praise and worship is in overcoming anxiety and worry in your life. And you're going to see that when you start worshiping, God starts working. But right now, I want to encourage you to start casting your cares on Jesus as the worship team returns. Would you stand with us here this morning? What are you anxious about? What are you worried about? I want to encourage you to begin to even in this moment, we're going to play a song of worship in just a moment. I want to encourage you to begin to cast that on Jesus today. Listen, I need you to understand, I'm not saying you can pray anxiety away. I know it's more complicated than that. But I can say to you that if you begin to praise, if you begin to pray, you will begin to find freedom in this today. I want to invite you to do something this morning as we're here in this place. I want to invite you to raise your hands like this. You see, this is a twofold symbol in our culture. It means two things. Number one, it means victory. if your team is winning at the game, you raise your hands and you spray. Why? Because it's victory. We are celebrating that that is victory in this moment. But also, in that moment, this is surrender. This is a symbol of surrender. And I'm believing this morning, as we begin to lift our hands in this place, it's going to mean both at the exact same time. Victory and surrender. As we surrender our control to Jesus and find victory in Him. Because God can do more with your surrender than you can with your control. And I want to invite you this morning just to begin to humble yourself before God. You might look like a fool. You bet you will. But man, God, I just need to start casting my cares upon You because You care for me. God, I don't know how to pray in the situation. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to run. I'm worried about X, Y, Z, and A, B, C. I got all of these different issues in my mind. I can't control this situation, but Lord, I know that You care. I can surrender control to You because You can do more with my surrender than I can with my control. So God, I'm just going to start casting my anxieties upon You. I'm going to start casting my cares upon You. God, I have seen You've taken care of me, so take it all. Take everything. Even if I don't know how to pray, I know that You do. What are you anxious about this morning? Let's just begin to cast it on Jesus right now. Would you just, let's across this place, can we turn the lights down a little bit there, Craig? And let's just begin to lift our hands in this place. Our focus is on Jesus right now in this place. This is a symbol of surrender. This is a surrender, a symbol of victory. And I'm believing right now in this moment, it's going to be both at the same time for some people here today. You don't have the power to control, but you always have the power to surrender. Trust Him with the details. Cast your anxieties on Him because He cares for you.